Orachaim HaKadosh Parshas Emor, Tafshin Ayin Zayin. The Parsha begins, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor al HaKohanim b'nei Aaron, v'amarta aleihem lenefesh lo yitama be'ama. The Parsha begins with the famous words, Emor v'amarta, Emor al HaKohanim v'amarta aleihem. Say to the Kohanim and say to them. So the obvious question is, what's the Emor v'amarta? Rashi has his famous comment, Emor va'amarta, lahazir gedolam ala katanim, that the older Kohanim have to take responsibility for the younger Kohanim. The Or Chaim HaKadosh begins, a small piece, the first piece, very first piece in the Parsha. Tzarech ladas lama shina miseder haragil lomar b'chol haTorah daber el v'gomer. In addition to wondering about why there's an Emor va'amarta, he says, why is there Amira B'chal? Shouldn't there be Dibor? Isn't it usually via Daber Hashem HaMoshe? When Hashem is about to command something of a mitzvah? So again, we're about to teach the Kohanim. The Kohanim have a responsibility not to become Tamei. So why is it Emor B'chal? And then why, all the more so, a double Emor? Od lama hikdim ha-toar limitoar sheyatzarech lomer b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim. And furthermore, why does it say, speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron? Are they Kohanim more than their sons of Aaron? Shouldn't it say, speak to the sons of Aaron who happen to be Kohanim? Isn't the fact that they're children of Aaron more essential than the adjective, than the description of Kohanim? So again, several questions. Why is it Amira and not Dibor? Hinted to is obviously the question of Emor va'amarta, which you'll see in his answer, you'll see how he addresses that. And also, why is it, again, why does it mention Kohanim, the description of who they are, or this added quality that they have, before B'nai Aaron? We would expect it to say, B'nai Aaron ha-Kohanim. U'drashos shedarshu chazal v'makom an-omdim. Of course, what Chazal say on this stands in its place. Hagam shiyadaber b'seder seh. But I'm going to now add a little something to the discussion. V'yisbar al derech ma sha'amru chazal. The Medrash Tanchuma says, v'zel ishonam, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Ein na liyotze v'nichnas lafanei listakel b'meis. Why do Kohanim have an Isser of Tumah? Why is it that generally speaking Kohanim are not allowed to be metame themselves? So the Medrash gives a simple explanation. It's not proper, again the words of the Medrash, Ein na, it's not becoming, it's not fitting, liyotze v'nichnas lafanei, to the one who comes in and out of the king's palace, the one who's going to stand before me, to present himself before me, listakel b'meis. Listakel literally means to stare at a mace, but it means to have contact with a mace. So now, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, we can explain the psukim. V'hu omro emor lashon ma'ala. We've seen several times that the shorish aleph mem resh is also a lashon of what? Of greatness. Es Hashem ha'amarta hayom. Hashem ha'amir chayom, the pasuk says. Right, we had it just the other week. Where did we have it? Where did we have it? We had it a couple weeks ago. I feel like maybe Tazria, Mitzora. Where did we have it? Or maybe back by Shmini. Yeah, we had it in Shmini. We had it in Shmini when it says, right, El Bnei Yisrael Lamor. So we said, what was the Lamor? You're introducing the halachas of Kashrus. I mean, I'm excited to see him too, but you know, let's try to stay focused there. Yeah, so by Shmini it said, when it was introducing the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals and the like, it said, speak to Bnei Yisrael Lamor. What was the extra Lamor? So if you remember in Parakut Aleph Pasuk Beis, the Rechaim HaKadosh said that Lamor is not a lashon of speaking, but it's a lashon of something elevated, distinction, praise. Imru Letzadik. Imru Letzadik doesn't mean say to the tzadik. Imru Letzadik means hail the tzadik. Praise the tzadik. Right? Imru Tzadik. So the Lamor is saying, tell Klal Yisrael that they become elevated when they keep the laws of Kashrus. So too, the Amira over here is not simply a repetition, say to the Kohanim, Va'amarta Aleihem, and say to them. Rather, what the Torah is saying is Emor. The Kohanim are elevated. And in what way are the Kohanim elevated? Look how he reads the Pasuk. V'hu Amro Emor, Lashon Ma'ala. Emor is a Lashon of what? Of greatness, of elevation. Yeah? Emor is a lashon of distinction. Emor el kohanim. The kohanim are distinguished. How so? Perish. Litzad shehim kohanim b'shar se p'nei melech. The kohanim have to be elevated because they are kohanim, because they serve before the king, like the Medrash said. U'mahi hamala. And what is that distinction? In what way do kohanim show that they are a notch above, so to speak? As the pasuk says, shelo yitamu lenefesh adam. Like the pasuk says, lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav. So the fact that kohanim are striving for this higher level, the way that they become distinguished in this way and distinct amongst Klal Yisrael, is that they hold themselves above tumah, that they don't come into contact with a mace. And now you understand why the pasuk says, what was the second question? Hakohanim b'nei Aaron. We want the word kohanim next to the word emor. Vayomer Hashem Moshe emor el kohanim. There's a maila of the kohanim. We want to emphasize that their maila comes about because they are kohanim. And what is the maila? What makes kohanim special and unique and distinct? This added level of sanctity, which comes from distancing themselves from tumas meis. Okay, so again, these songs pshat in the pasuk, and I always like to try to do the first piece in the parsha when we can. At least now we understand that the word emor is not only a lashon of amira, of speaking, but it's a lashon of being distinct, of being recognized as special and different. And of course, as we prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov of Lag VaOmer, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who helped us to recognize the greatness of every Jew, how every Jew is a Ben Melech and every Jew is distinct, it's fitting that we should read such a parsha with the title of Emor, a lashon of distinction and praise. Okay, he has a few pieces which are very halachic and very detailed in terms of Gemaras and Rambams and working on some very nitty-gritty stuff, which of course is very important. But I'd like to jump ahead to Pasuk Ches, the Kidashto. Perichav Aleph Pasuk Ches. It says that the Kohen can't become Tamei except for the closest of relatives. And then the Torah tells us a little bit about who a Kohen can marry. And then it says, V'kidashto ki es lechem elokecha hu makriv, kodosh yelach ki kadosh ani Hashem mekadishcha. V'kidashto, you shall sanctify him. Whose responsibility is it to watch over the kedusha of the Kohen? If you started learning Shnayim Mikra this week, hopefully you did, started reading the parasha a little bit, looked at a few Rashis. Rashi says, V'kidashto al karcho. V'kidashto, make him holy, force him. If the Kohen is not taking his responsibility seriously, then force him. Al karcho. Shim lo ratza legarish, if he doesn't want to divorce a woman who he's not allowed to be married to, we will give him lashes and we will afflict him. Ad shigarish, based on a Gemara in Yavamis, until we convince him, even if we have to use force against him. If you remember, we discussed at one point earlier this year, there are some marriages that the marriage can be binding even though it's usher. And there are some marriages that simply can't be binding. So if someone tries to marry his sister and says, Harei et mekudesh esli, and gives her a ring, that's irrelevant. You've said nothing. You've done nothing. There cannot be a bond between a brother and a sister, or a mother and her son. Right? A Kohen, the Lavin, the prohibited categories of women who the Kohen can't marry, if he does choose to marry, if he tries to marry her, the marriage is chal, the marriage is binding. So you could have a scenario where the Kohen is truly married to a woman who is prohibited to him. And therefore, v'kidashto is an obligation upon us, the tzibur at large, to pressure the Kohen to make the right choice. If he refuses to divorce her, we have to pressure him until he does. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, building off of this idea of Rashi and this Gemara in Yevamos Peches, v'kidashto, v'lo amar v'kidashtom, k'seder hanidbar ad ata b'loshon ravim. V'kidashto is in the singular, it's not in the plural. As we found by the previous psukim, the Devarim Zal, and the reason is, according to the Gemara, which Rashi just quoted, Shazharazo Bosh im Kohen Lorotza Lagarish Isha Zona Vachallah, if he's refusing to separate from a woman who's prohibited to him, Shemalkin Oso Miyasun Oso Achi Garish. Then we will pressure him until he divorces her. Ulefitam Shinosan Akosov, Kias Lechem Elokecha Hu Makriv. Tavo hasvara lomar ki kol od sheish kohanim shleimim v'chein rabim hamaspikim lahakriv ein chiyav lachov. If you just read the pasuk and you weren't being careful, you might think the following: Pasuk says v'kidashro, he should be holy. Why? Ki yislachem elokechu makriv, because he has to bring karbanos. So you'll say to yourself, ah, so if I need this kohen to bring karbanos, then I should force him to separate from his wife, because he's living in sin. But if I have other kohanim who are shleimim, wholesome kohanim, good upstanding kohanim, so then I can leave this guy alone. I'll tell him, okay, you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash in your current state. You've defiled the kahuna. You have no respect for the kahuna. But the show will go on without him. So therefore, the pasuk emphasizes v'kidashto, that every individual kohen, we want to make sure that every individual kohen recognizes his own sanctity. And we don't say, well, there are other kohanim we could fill in. A kohen, by definition, means an oved. Rashi in one place in Chumash says that a kohen, the translation of kohen, means one who serves. We're not mochel on this one kohen. We don't say, well, there are others who could bring the karban, as the pasuk seems to imply. Lezeh amar lashon yachid sha'afilo al echem me'am yakbid lasos kemishmat hazeh. And again, while he's telling us the detail of halacha, there's an unbelievable drasha to be had here. To think about the fact that every Jew is mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. That every Jew is a kohen. That every Jew's avoda is chashiv. And we don't say, well, there are other Jews who are bringing offerings to Hashem, so, you know, so if one kohen gets lost in the shuffle, the kohen gadol, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, says, no, 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 every Jew is going to make it. It's interesting. You look in some sfarim, they say that lasid lavo, and I have no idea how this really works. It doesn't seem fair to Avi. Right? But lasid lavo, apparently, some sfarim say, lasid lavo, everyone's going to be a kohen. So for the kohen, we're sitting around waiting to work in the Beis HaMikdash, we're all going to be working in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know exactly what that means or how that works. You're happy to share? That's so sweet of you. See? See, we've got, this is a kohen gadol. This is a kohen gadol. What's the definition of a gadol? What's the definition of a gadol? It says that Moshe, right, grew up, Moshe became a gadol, and he went out to his brothers. So different tzaddikim point out, the definition of a gadol is one who's focused on others. So the fact that you want us to be kohanim with you makes you the kohen gadol. Shkayach. Mari kohen. Yeah. Is he still eligible to be a kohen? I think so. I think so. Jamie, you wanted to say something?
I was
going to
ask that question. What's the point of
getting? Yeah, we want to. Right.
He lost his
right. No, I don't. So I don't think he loses his kahuna because of that.
It's a curse.
I don't think he loses his kahuna because of that.
You
okay. So, but it's an amazing. Again, it's an amazing idea. To think that lasid lavo, we have to think of every Jew as a kohen. And that's our Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who has that lasid lavo perspective. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we don't paskin like in many areas of halacha in this world, but in the world to come, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai will carry more weight. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, okay, yeah, I'm the kohen gadol, and you're all kohanim, and v'kidashto. No yid will be left behind. No yid will be left behind. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. No Jew will be left behind. Yeah.
I don't know exactly
what
it's
like,
but all different parts of
it, all
different
parts all
together,
yeah, distinct all. Right? But I'm mochel. But I'm mochel on anyone. Yeah.
There was a rabbi in LA who was a kohen that decided he wanted to marry a divorcee.
Oh, yeah?
And then he said, oh, yeah, family is that I was never a kohen.
Oh, really?
In front of the
whole show.
Wow.
I don't know what that whole story is.
He's committed.
That's
committed
relationship.
Sounds like
we should go on to the next piece.
Committed relationship.
Shalom
lies. Was never
coming. Okay, it says Kadosh Yiyeh Lach. Kadosh Yiyeh Lach. So continuing this theme, the Rechaim Kadosh says, Perish, Kadesh Yiyeh Kadosh Yiyeh Lach HaKoin. Kadoshi Allah again means that you the Israel have responsibility v'kidashto. You the Jewish community have responsibility v'kidashto. You need this Jew to be a kohen. Kadoshi hiya Allah. His kedusha is your responsibility. Perish. Hinehu shalach lechufo al hadavar. It's your responsibility to pressure him and to force him on this matter. Va'omro ki kadosh. Again, you might have said the following svara. You might have thought to say the following perush litzad shekodma lanu hayadia ki akedusha hi bechina haniknes beratzon. You would say that kedusha is something that a person has to choose to acquire. Can you force someone to be kadosh? You would think that Kedusha is something that's acquired by Ratzon, uvashlamas hachefetz, vahacheshek ba. One has to want it, one has to desire it. You can't impose Kedusha upon someone. V'lo b'kviya, not by pressure, by force. V'eich omer akosov l'chufo al Kedusha. So therefore, how could the Torah say they have to pressure him? You have to pressure him into Kedusha. So therefore, the pasuk says, what? Ki kadosh. Kadosh ye'alach, why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem mikadishchem. And therefore what? You're not forcing the Kohen to become holy. You're forcing the Kohen to maintain the inherent holiness that he has. You're not transmitting Kedusha to him. You're just helping him to guard what he inherently has, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. Ki kadosh ani Hashem. Perish. Lo lahamshich lo HaKedusha mechadosh. Shekvar hu kadosh. He already is kadosh. You don't have to make him holy. That's not what it means, kadosh yallah. It means help him to maintain his holiness. El shalom la'avid kadosh asa. Va'omer ani Hashem mekadishchem. What does that mean? No sein tam l'chiyav Yisrael b'davar zeh. If you want to have a connection to me, Jewish people, then we need a mishkan. And to have a mishkan, we need kohanim. And if we have a mishkan, we have proper kohanim, then we have hashras ha'shchina. But if the kohanim fall apart, then the mishkan falls apart, then the shchina disappears. So Jews, I'm telling you, this is in your best interest to take responsibility for helping the kohanim maintain their sanctity. Ki be'emtzos kedushas kohen, Hashem baruch hu mashu shchinaso b'sochinu b'kadesh osanu. So don't say, oh, well, this is the kohen's problem. It's not my problem. It is your problem. If the kohanim are not acting like kohanim, then hashras ha'shchina will be diminished in the world. V'im kohen ein avoda ve'ein mikdash ve'ein shochin. And then we lose hashras ha'shchina. Now obviously, as we've learned, the Arachayim l'shitaso, as we prepare for our big bechina on the Arachayim HaKadosh, we should remind ourselves that we learned several times this year, the Arachayim has an idea that shchina comes in different levels. If you remember, there's different degrees of shchina. And the rule is, the more Jews, and all the more so, the more Jews doing the right thing, the more shchina. The larger the gathering of Jews, the greater hashras hashchina. So that's why you can have a Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, that says, well, one person learns, the Shechina's with him, when two people, when five people, when 10 people. So if Hashem is there for one person, why do I need to know that he's there for 10 people? So Chaim explained, no, there's different degrees of Hashras Hashechina. And the more we get ourselves in order, the more divine presence there will be in our lives. So therefore, Vikidashto, every single Kohen counts in this regard. Every single Kohen brings a little bit more Hashras Hashechina to the world, and we're not going to be mochel on it. So therefore, as Jews, we take responsibility for this entity called the Kohuna. Okay. Now we come to the magnum opus, so to speak, within the Parsha of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Perech of Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. A lot of Yesodos, and again, going into Lag Omer, Ashrinu Matov Chalkenu, that we came upon this piece. Because he's going to give us a lot of puzzle pieces. We're not going to put together the whole puzzle, I'm just telling you now, it's a long piece. But at least you'll get a certain understanding of how the worlds work, how the different levels of neshama work, right? Different degrees of one connecting to his neshama, and how that helps a person to achieve spiritual greatness in this world. Okay, so we'll try to read, we're going to spend a good chunk of time, probably the next 15 minutes or so, working on this one long piece. Again, it's Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, Uvas Kohen. Okay, first let's understand what the Pashup Shat context is. The Pashup Shat context is that if the Kohen has a daughter, and she decides to marry a non-Kohen. The Kohen has a daughter, and she decides to marry a non-Kohen. She marries a Yisrael. Yeah? He's a good guy. He's a Rosh Yeshiva. Very chashiv. But he's not a Kohen. So is a daughter of a Kohen allowed to marry a Yisrael?
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%. However, when she gets married and she becomes now part of her husband's house, Kedushin, Nisuin, she's now part of her husband's house, she's no longer part of her father's house. Which means what? She can't eat truma. Says the Pasuk, Uvas Kohen Kisiel Ish Zar. If a Vas Kohen will be to an Ish Zar, means she'll marry a non-Kohen. Zar, he's not strange in the sense that he's, she didn't, God forbid, marry out of the faith. She married a non-Kohen. So if the daughter of a Kohen marries a non-Kohen, v'trumas hakadoshim lo sochel, she will no longer be eligible to eat truma, because she's defined by her husband's home, not her father's home anymore. Pasuk Yud Gimel, I'll read you one more pasuk. Uvas Kohen kisiyah almana ugerusha. If, after a period of time of being married, Rachmana Litzlan, her husband, passes away, or her husband divorces her, Vizera ain la, and she doesn't have children from that husband, Vishava el beis avia, and she returns to her father's home, kin ureha, like her youth, milechem avia tochel, then she's once again eligible to eat the truma. V'chol zar lo yochel bo, which is a different context already, as Rashi explains, has to do with avelus. Okay, but in terms of the Bas Kohen, she marries the Yisrael. If that Yisrael passes away, or if he divorces her, she comes back to her father's home, and she continues to eat. She continues to eat truma. But while she's a married woman, she goes by her husband's home. She follows them and hug him and the practices of her husband. Her husband's the Yisrael, and therefore she can no longer come visit her parents and eat their truma, eat their sacred food. Okay, that's the pshat. Says the Rachaim Kalash, I want to explain this whole passage to you in a deeper way. B'derech Remes. Okay? First he says, he just gives us a very quick comment, B'derech HaPshat. Uvas Kohen, he, B'toras Kohanim, he quotes the Medrash, Darshu Miyot, he, Li'ima. The Pasuk says again, Abas Kohen, if there's a daughter of a Kohen, who marries an Ish Zar, yeah? Uvas Kohen, Kisiel Ish Zar, he, B'trumas HaKadoshim Lo Sochel. She can no longer eat truma. Who can continue to eat truma? Her mother. It's not like the girl married out of the family, so to speak, and now her mother is also considered out of the family. No. Her mother is allowed to continue to eat, right? Even though her daughter is no longer eligible to eat. Why would you think otherwise? It's a good question. The difference is that if the mother, even if the Kohen passes away, if her husband passes away, the Kohen, she's still, even in her state of almana, as an almana of the Kohen, she still continues to eat. Okay, as opposed to the daughter, who if her husband passes away, she keeps moving back from one bias to another bias. Her status changes. Okay, fine. Then he says, let's talk more about arichus b'derech remes. V'ra'isi l'ha'ir libos b'nei adam b'remes gadol etcher ramza parshazot. I want to reveal to you the many secrets that are contained within this parsha. And again, we're not going to spend so much time on the way that he derives it from each of these series of psukim, which is gevaldik to see, but I want to just get the yesodos that he shares here. Because he gives you, again, really some building blocks of Pnimiyas HaTorah, which is everything that's on our mind in the week of Lag BaOmer. He says the following, duh, you should know. Ki Amru Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shaham b'nei Yisrael hadragasam lemala mehadragas hamalachim. The first thing you need to know is that as Jews we have to believe that we're greater than angels. If you remember, we learned last week in Parshas Kedoshim, Rizkadishtem v'yisem Kedoshim. If you remember, we learned that angels have the outer track and we, Klal Yisrael, have the inner track. Which means the angels are turning to us and saying, "Nu, what do you see? What's going on by Kadosh Baruch Hu? You have a better view, so to speak, of the Rabbanu Shalom than we do." So first of all, we have to know that we have the ability to be on a higher level than angels. Aleph. Beis, Va'amru Od, the Zohar says, Ki Hashem bara dalet olamos. Part of the reason, by the way, we're greater than angels is you're going to wonder what does that comment have to do with anything else he's about to say. I think the answer is part of what makes us greater than angels is the ability to grow, the ability to move, the ability to change. Of course, the famous pasuk in Zechariah that I placed you mahalchim bein ha'om de'ma'ela. A human being is called a holich. A malach is called an omid. An omid means that the malach maintains his madrega. We stand with our feet together during Shemona Esrei, according to Chazal, based on the pasuk in Shair Yecheskel, that the angels are omid regul yeshara. I can't remember where the pasuk is. Right? That the angels stand with a regul yeshara, a straight leg. The Talmud Yerushalmi says in Brachos, angels don't have joints. They can't bend their knees, which means they can't lower themselves, and they can't jump higher. Their madrega is held in place. There's no fluctuation, up or down, for that matter. Okay? That's how some interpret, by the way, when it says that Yaakov has his dream and he sees the Sula Mutzav Arza, Veroshal Magiyah Shemaima, and the Malachi Elokim are Olam V'Yardimbo, which is a bit of a Chiddush, angels going up and down, because again, the very Mahuz of an angel is that they stay in one place, so how do they carry out their Shlichas, so they're tied to one place. Okay, but still the notion of up and down is very unusual by angels. So that's why some explain that Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim V'Lajner explained it this way, and other Tzaddikim of Chassidus explained it this way, that Olam V'Yardim Bo doesn't mean that they're going up and down the ladder, it means Olam V'Yardim Bo, they're going up and down Yaakov Avinu. Olam V'Yardim Bo, that the Malachi Elokim were Olam V'Yardim Bo, that they were ascending and descending in accordance with Him. Because again, man is the driver, so to speak. Man's at the helm of the Bria, and guiding the world. So the angels ascend or descend in accordance with our behavior. Okay, so first thing you need to know is man is greater than a malach. And now he's going to introduce us to the different worlds. So that's what I'm trying to say is that's the connection here. The fact that a Jew can fluctuate and try to climb through the different olamos and try to develop the different levels of soul from nefesh to ruach to neshama v'chulu, right, is what makes us greater than the angels. I think that's the point that Rav Chaim HaKadosh is hinting to here. So he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says, Ki Hashem bara dalet olamos. Okay, if you've never gotten this down, if you can't name the four olamos, now's your chance to really decide, you know? This is our Gone with the Wind moment. Right? We won't quote the line. Yeah? But this is the moment where a person decides, do I care about this and I want to remember it? So let's try to remember it. This is a very beautiful piece he has here. There are four worlds. Whether you're learning Chassidus, whether you're learning Nefesh HaChaim, these worlds come up. You're learning Midrashim. It's hinted to. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya where it's hinted to. He says, the Zohar tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created four worlds, Zeh Lemala Mizeh. Urishumim Heima B'Pasuk, Kol HaNikra B'Shmi V'Lichvodi Barasiv Yitzartiv Af Asisiv. The pasuk in Yeshaya says that all that I've created with my name or by my name, the name of something is its essence. The Torah is the name of Hashem, the Ramban says, from beginning to end. It's one big combination of letters which somehow expresses the name of Hashem, the essence of Hashem. So I did that lichvodi, right? V'lichvodi barasiv yitzartiv af asisiv. Says the Rav Chaim HaKadosh, lichvodi is the highest world, hanikra atzilus. What does the word atzilus mean? Eitzel? Right, you take the ashes off the Mizbeach and you play it as Eitzel HaMizbeach, next to. Atzilus means the world that is next to, so to speak, next to Hashem Himself. So Lichvodi, the Kavod of Hashem, the Kavod, and somehow means the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes Kavod is a code word for the soul of something, the essence of something. Okay, so that's the world of Atzilus. It's about as high as you can get, as close as you can get, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a world called Atzilus. Birasiv Hanikra Olam HaBriya. Right? You can see, the Navi says, Birasiv is Bria. Bria means initial creation. Which means something else is taking form, which could look, on some level, like it's disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's no longer directly next to, it's not Atzilus, it's not right next to Hashem. It's a little bit of an independent creation, but still very high up. Then there's Yitzartiv, the Pasuk says, is a world called Yitzira. The third world is called Yitzira. Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira. Yitzira means Bria, like Bereshis Bara Elokim, that's the beginning of creation. Yitzira means something that has really taken on form. Right, so Bria is when I have, so to speak, the building blocks in order to make something, and Yitzira is when I actually fashion it. I've taken the pieces of wood and I've hammered them together to make this shtender, the mashal. And lastly, Asisiv is Asiya, the world of Asiya, which is the physical world in its finalized form, so to speak. This is the world of Asiya. What does it mean? Planet Earth equals Asiya? Planet Earth is Asiya? Our entire solar system is Asiya. Okay, but Asiya is, so to speak, the revealed world, whatever the revealed world means, as far as you can see with a telescope. What's included in Asiya? But these are the four worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. And again, it's hinted to in this Pasuk in Yeshaya Memkim. Now he says, I want to tell you something more. He says, O Yesh Lecha Ledas. And that's how this piece is going to go. He's going to keep giving us these you know, fundamental building blocks of understanding deeper dimensions. How we tie them all together, we'll have to see. First, I want to tell you an unbelievable remez that I thank the Creator of the Universe for giving me this morning. I was thinking about these four worlds, and I was curious what the gematria of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya is. Yeah, this is all reality. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And the revelation of these four worlds. And our job to recognize and to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu expression, kiviyachol, in these four worlds. And it's amazing. This is a beautiful remez. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya is gematria 1,455. Now he's going to show us how those four worlds correspond to four dimensions of the soul. Right? Four is, whenever we talk about four, there's a lot of things that come in units of four. The four letters of Hashem's name, the four worlds, the four parts of the soul, even though there's a fifth part of the soul. Right? There's a lot of, what did you say? 1,455. There's a lot of things that come in fours. Domim, Tzomeya, Chai, Medaber. The world is made up of inanimate objects, plant life, animal life, and people. There's a lot of things that come in sets of four. Okay, we spoke once about how really every four is really five. There's a fifth dimension to everything. There's a hidden fifth dimension in the world, in Hashem's name. In everything, there's a hidden fifth dimension. In the soul, there's really a fifth dimension. Right? He's going to talk about four parts of the soul. And he's talking about the four worlds. So our job is to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu expression in these worlds. We know there are four exiles in Jewish history. Yeah? Bavel, Madai, Paras u'Madai, it's a combination. Yavan, that's Hanukkah. And then Edom, where we find ourselves today. Okay, again, really there's also a fifth dimension. Maybe Yishmael is the fifth dimension. Maybe Amalek is called the fifth dimension. Maybe Mitzrayim, which preceded the root of all Golas, is the fifth dimension. But again, we have a lot of fours, a lot of clusters of four. We drink four cups of wine. Well, the Lashonus of Geula, even though there's really a fifth Lashon of Geula. Okay, so there's many, many things that come in sets of four. If I told you, if I asked you to think about the four exiles, for example, yeah? Talking about four worlds, we're about to talk about four parts of the soul. There are four exiles. Again, Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. If I were to ask you to give me something that's connected to those four exiles, what comes to mind? Where in the Torah do we have a hint to those four exiles? A medrash at the beginning of Bereishis Rabba. We've spoken about it many, many times. Tov, Vavav, V'choshech, Apnei Sohom. That's right. Right? There's four Lashonos at the beginning of Chumash that describe, so to speak, the darkness from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world. Tohu, the Medrash says, is Bavel. Bohu is Madai. Choshech, which is Chanukah, is Yavan, right? That's the Or of Chanukah. And lastly, Tohom is Edom. That's the Golos we're in now. Which again, Tohom is also a combination of Edom and Yishmael. Which again, we've said many times, is exactly what's happening in the world today. Edom is Christianity. Edom is Western culture. Yeah, Yishmael is Islam. And Klal Yisrael are sandwiched somewhere in the middle, trying to fight for the Geula. That's why Sfarim say that Tohom, the gematria of the word Tohom, which is the word that hints to Galas Edom, but also contains within it a hint to Yishmael, Tohom is exactly gematria Yishmael. Tohom 451 is gematria Yishmael. As Reb Chaim Vital reveals to us, that this is really Galas Yishmael, and that's the greatest Galas of all. What the Arabs are going to do to Klal Yisrael in the end of days is worse than anything that anyone else could do, God forbid. Okay. So ready for this remez? What's the gematria of Tohu, Vavohu, V'choshech, Alpanei Sohom? 1455. It's Kavalik. So Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, the revelation of the four worlds is exactly gematria Tohu, Vavohu, V'choshech, Alpanei Sohom. That's Kavalik. That is Kavalik. The Torah spells Tohu. The Torah spells Tohu, Tof, Hey, Vav. Tohu. Tohu, Vavohu. They're both spelled Chaser. Right? They only have one Vav. Tohu, Tof, Hey, Vav. Vavohu, Vav, Bez, Hey, Vav. Choshech also is spelled Chaser without a Vav. Choshech is spelled without a Vav. And Alpanei Sohom, Tohom has a Vav in it. Vichoshech. It's exactly the way the Torah spells it. No funny business. No adding letters, no changing spelling. Glat kosher, chavra. Glat kosher. You can eat this gematria off. It's glad kosher. Yeah, tov v'vav v'choshech ha'pnei tzom is exactly gematria. Atzilus bria yetzir asiyah. That's vada in the sefer somewhere, and whoever finds it, you'll let me know. Vada, that's somewhere.
It's near your sefer.
What did you say?
It's near your sefer.
My sefer? Halavai. Okay, good. So there are four worlds. Od yesh lecha ledas ki kvodo yisbarach malei kol olam va'olam va'ad mitachas olam. We have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light fills all of those worlds, which is exactly the point of that gematria. The point is there was a darkness and an emptiness and a negativity that shrouded over the world until the HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzir, Asiya, the four worlds, with His light. So we need to try to recognize, as the Ruach Haim HaKadosh, that the Kvodo Yisbarach fills all of those worlds. As the Pasuk says, Umitachas Zroos Olam. V'oro Yisbarach Meir B'dalir Olamos. And the light of Hashem fills all of those worlds. Sorry, I just need to write something down. Okay? So Hashem's light fills all those worlds. And he says it corresponds to the four letters of Hashem's name. Hu besod dalet osios shem havaya baruch hu. So again, we have two sets of four so far. We have Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Now he says it corresponds to the four letters of Hashem's name. So the Yud corresponds to? The Yud corresponds to? Yud is the highest. Right? Yud, Baholam Atzilus. Hey Rishona is Bria, V'chul. The Vav is Yetzira. And the final Hey of Hashem's name is Asiya. Again, what do I do with these ideas? First of all, I recognize that there are things much bigger than myself. And that itself is worthwhile in Avodas Hashem. If I don't know anything about these worlds or what that means to me day to day, it's just a reminder that when I walk down the street, I walk with a little more humility, that I'm not the king of the world, that there's so much more going on around me than my eyes are able to even understand. Right? But again, these are tools to help us understand. You may be able to understand different psukim in Torah. You may better understand Bereishis Bara Elokim, now that you know that there's a world called Bria. Aha, so Bereishis Bara Elokim, so where was the Atzilus of creation? It gets you thinking. And again, these are building blocks. They're tools. As Rav David likes to always say, his favorite Gemara is Yerushalmi and Rosh Hashanah. That Divrei Torah is rich in some areas and poor in other areas. Which means sometimes you pick up a little something here and it's poor because you don't know what to do with it. I don't know where do I insert this into my worldview. But if you file it away in your mind and in your heart, then at some point later you'll be able to use it and understand something in Avodas Hashem. Furthermore, the Zohar says, everything that is able to move in this world, all the energy, and I mean by energy and things that move in this world, I mean everything from you moving your arm, from you being able to walk down the street, to a bird flying in the sky, to the revolutions of the outer spheres, right? The sun and the moon and the stars. All of that, all of the movement of the world is caused by the one who's moving it, namely the chius of Elokos, the godliness, the light of Hashem that fills all of reality. It's the light of the source of life, the Elokim Chaim, the living God, that gives life and gives movement and gives energy and gives existence to all of reality. Okay, and that's what he says, Ki chelak Hashem amo. Ki chelak Hashem amo, by being a chelak of Hashem, by being an extension of the one who is the source of life, you are alive. And the more connected you are to Hashem, the more alive you'll be. And hopefully the more you'll be able to move in this world, you'll be able to accomplish in this world. Gam karam Hashem banav, and Hashem calls us His children, which again is a way of saying that our existence is entirely dependent upon Him, and He gives us life, and He gives us movement, and He gives us energy. Od amru chazal, we go further in the Zohar. Everyone see where we are? For me, in mine, it's the next paragraph. Od amru zal. Ki b'chinos ha'chiyuni sheba'adam yisyaches elav dalid kinuyim. Furthermore, when we talk about these four worlds, and the light of Hashem, as expressed by the letters of Hashem's name, giving energy and life and existence to these worlds, it also corresponds to the four parts of your soul, which you're trying to also give life to, be connected to tap into. Yesha yikare nefesh. The lowest part of your soul is called the nefesh. Vayeshi kare ruach. A little bit higher up is called ruach. Vayeshi kare neshama. A little higher, the third level of soul is called neshama. Vayeshi kare chaya. And then the highest level that he's going to talk about, the fourth dimension, is called chaya, which means life itself. Okay, so nefesh, ruach, neshama, and chaya. Those are the four levels that he introduces us to. Just to review, something we spoke about in the past, where is my nefesh found? Where in the body is the nefesh found?
Everywhere.
Well, if we talk about the soul in a general sense, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud that the soul fills the entire body. But now we're speaking much more precisely. So your answer is not wrong.
The liver.
The nefesh is found in the liver. Very good. Ki adam hu anefesh. Right? The bloody liver contains the nefesh. And where is your ruach? Lev tahor barali elukim. The ruach. The ruach is in the heart. Where is your neshama? In the malach. Right? In the malach. Okay? Where is your chaya? Where's chaya? So chaya, the three parts of the soul that are within the body are nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Chaya and yechida, we talk about a fifth dimension called yechida. Right? We normally view them as what? As surrounding the body. As being outside of the guf, giving them even greater spiritual expression, almost creating like a shield, you know, some type of spiritual encasing of a person. Okay? So chaya we don't usually assign to a particular part of the body. Again, Daniel's correct that the neshama fills the entire body. Yeah, David HaMelech said, Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem, five times, corresponding to the five parts of the soul. And the Gemara says in Brachos that just like what? That just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, whose presence fills all of reality, so too the Neshama fills the whole body. Yeah? What's the Gematria, by the way, of Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem? Nope. Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem. David HaMelech says Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem five times in Tehillim, corresponding to the five parts of the soul. Someone do it, add it up. Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem. What's Baruch Hu? Do the math. Baruch Hu is... Baruch Hu is, we don't have to guess.
202,
222. 232.
Got it.
Nafshi? 440. 401. Hashem? 26.
1099.
Who remembers 1099?
It's all the five.
It's
the five parts.
It's the five parts. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida is 1099. It's a Hanukkah number. For those who remember the Hanukkah shir, 1099 is a big Hanukkah number. Chinochei, right? Hanukkah is chinochei. To mechanich the five parts of the soul. Very good. Okay, good. But here we're going to focus on four parts of the soul: nefesh, ruach, neshama, and chaya. Bisod ki ruach hachaya ba'ofanim, like it says in the Novi Yecheskel in the first parak, ki ruach hachaya ba'ofan. Okay, another name for chaya, he tells us, v'tikare neshama l'neshama. Chaya is sometimes called the neshama of the neshama. So there's nefesh, ruach, neshama, and neshama l'neshama. He's not even talking about the fifth dimension. He's leaving that off the record for now. Va'amru anche emes. Ki bachina haba meor olam ha'asiya letzari yoso muat ve'ein bo ela kol shehu me'achiyunis ha'minaneya. He says, therefore, the nefesh, which is going to give expression in the lowest world. So now let's line up the pieces. We have a world called asiya. That's our physical reality as we know. We have the lowest part of our soul called the nefesh. The nefesh is least spiritual, and therefore the nefesh is the part that's most easily connected to the body, most easily connected to the physical world. So therefore he says the nefesh corresponds to the world of Asiya. He's going to line up the four parts of the soul with the four worlds. And that's what a person feels in this world. When you feel alive in this world, you're probably feeling your nefesh. That's the easiest part of your soul that there is to feel in the world of Asiya. And the reason that Hashem made it this way, because the world is so gas, the world is so unrefined, right? It's so physical, it's gross, gas, it's thick. it's thick with gashmias. So therefore, nefesh can make contact here, and it's much harder for neshama to feel welcome in this world. V'zo tikare nefesh. V'abba me'or olam ha'yitzira. You go up a world to the world of yitzira. V'tzahe yoso elyon me'olam ha'asiya. He'arasa gedola v'tikare ruach. It gets its light from ruach. The level of soul called ruach is connected to the world of yitzira. V'abba me'or olam b'riya. The world of b'riya is connected to neshama. V'tzahe hadragasa in accordance with its level. And of course, the highest world of tzilus is connected to chaya, that part of the soul called chaya, or as we refer to as tikari neshama linishama. Okay? So again, he's giving us very important yesodos in understanding deeper ideas. Vihine, let's go a drop further. Vihine. Ha'adon Hashem Tzavakos also his kashrus kol ha'olamos ruchani v'gashmi ba'adam yashar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some unbelievable way, was able to string together all of these different parts of man, all of these different parts of the world. This, by the way, might shed a little bit of light on why we treat the shame Hashem when it's written so seriously. Why can't you erase Hashem's name? Why can't you erase a letter of Hashem's name? Because what you're doing is you're tearing apart the world. There's a very delicate connection, kesher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tied together these worlds. And he's going to explain to us how it's done. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates some type of intermediary to connect worlds. Because from nefesh to ruach is a huge gap. And from ruach to neshama is a huge gap. So we have to find a way to somehow tie together this whole kol b'shleima, this whole tzura of the worlds. So look what he says here. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu had an unbelievably remarkable ability to tie together ruchnius and gashmius, which is why Mashiach is going to be that perfection of ruchnius and gashmius. Kosher kol gashmius v'chol ruchnius yachad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tied together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached gashmius and ruchnius as one. HaGashmius bana dalit yesodos. Gashmius is built upon four yesodos. Visham sam lo chok haruchnius mikol ha'olamos. And Hashem injected into all of gashmius. What does he mean by four yesodos? He might be talking about Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. He might be talking about Domeim, Tzomeach, Chai, and Medaber. Inanimate life, plant life, animal life, and human beings. Right? Or he might be talking about the more base elements of creation. Right? Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. Mayim, yeah. Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. V'yesh lecha ledas. You should also know. Ki agashmias yisnage. Look at this line. This is a. Got to underline this line. Ki agashmias yisnage lechibra haruchani yoser meyisnagdas eshel mayim. Gashmias and ruchnias. For gashmias and ruchnias to get along is as unlikely and even more unlikely than fire and water getting along. There is such an opposition between gashmias and ruchnias, like the opposition of fire and water. That's how different they are. That's how much they stand apart. Lezen is chakim Hashem Baruch Hu bar ba'adam machon arishon shua nefesh she'in ba'al chilek muat me'aruchnis. So look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Hashem said, let's start off real simple. Let's talk about a person who's made from dirt. Yeah? Afar mid Adam. Afar mid Adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took man and he formed him from earth. Or, like we learned in Pirkei Avos this past week, Me'ayin Basa Mitipas Rucha. Let's talk about physical man. So where are we going to start with physical man in the world of Asiya? Let's try to make a small connection. A connection on the level of Nefesh. Let's see if we can get Nefesh and Guf to work together. Right? That's already, it's a big Chiddush. To get Nefesh and Guf to work together is already an amazing, that's a big Chiddush. That's already a merger of The Bnei Shleishim says that the gematria of nefesh plus guf is Or Chadash. It's already a crazy merger. It's already a new light emerges in the world. The fact that the physicality and spirituality can come together, it's mafli la'asos. It's what we say every time we go to the bathroom. It's mafli la'asos. It's a pella. It's a complete wonder that somehow the body and the soul are able to work together. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's start off small. Let's take the lowest level of the soul. Now let's try to attach it to man in the lowest of the world, in the world of Asiya. Let's make a shivach. V'hishra b'socha b'china el yona mimena shehi b'chinas haruach. And then once that merger comes together, once we bring together nefesh and man in the world of Asiya, and they, you know, learn how to work it out, then we say, okay, let's try to kick it up a notch. Let's try to somehow build on top of that ruach. Let's use ruach. Let's try to bring ruach into the picture now. Right? Now that we've created this new entity, this Or Chadash of nefesh and guf, let's kick it up a notch and try to mount a little bit of ruach on top of that. Right? And then from there, we'll use ruach as a stepping stone to neshama. And we'll use neshama as a stepping stone to what? To neshama with neshama. And we'll keep trying to build ourselves up spiritually. Now again, what does this mean to us? It means that if you want to grow as a Jew, it's going to be a painstaking process. And it's going to be an unbelievable source of wonder to be able to achieve anything in this world. But a person has to climb step by step by step. Start off slow. Don't try to get to the level of neshama li neshama in one shot. A person has to climb the ladder slowly, 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 rung after rung after rung, very, very slowly. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. To climb the levels of the world, right? From the world of Asiya to the world of Yetzira, to Bria, to Atzilas. And that's the Avoda. That's our Avoda. That's what he's describing here. Okay, turn the page. Let's go to just the next paragraph. I'll read just a drop more in this piece, and then I guess we'll move on to other things. Let's read two more paragraphs. Okay? And then I'll leave more on the table than we've learned. Od Amru Yode Das Kadosh. Furthermore, from the Zohar. Look how many passages in the Zohar we got to learn today. Baruch Hashem. Ki es atzmus hashleimum be'emtzos lakachtov asher nasad lanu habore hu la'alos mimadrega tachtona lamadrega shalamala mimena. The avoda of a Jew in this world. Now let's talk practical. Chavah, let's talk practical, yeah? Ki es atzmus hashleimum. The hard work of those who are shalem. Those who are striving for greatness, for completion. Be'emtzos lakachtov. By way of the lakachtov. What's the lakachtov? What's Lechach Tov? The Torah. And those who are striving for greatness and using the tool that Hashem has given us, namely, the Torah. Hashem has given us the Torah. Asher nosan lano haborehu la'alos v'madrega tachtonu madrega shalamal v'meta, to be able to climb from a lower level to a higher level. Al zeh haderech nefesh ya'al l'madregas ruach, to go from nefesh to ruach, and from ruach to neshama, and from neshama to neshama l'neshama. This is the avoda of man. Give to the one who is wise and he'll become wise. Meaning what? Give over this piece of advice. Teach all these ideas. These are deep ideas. You say, what am I supposed to do with it? If you're a chacham, you know what to do with all these things that we've learned today. You start to think about yourself in a different way. You start to think about your surroundings in a different way. You start to think about the opportunity of climbing this ladder of spirituality in a different way. Give over this information to one who is wise, and they'll be able to use Torah and mitzvahs to actually start doing these things, start achieving these things. And when you start to achieve something, you earn your place in this world. Let's end with this paragraph. Let's end this piece at least, and then we'll see at the very end of the parsha a couple short pieces. But let's end this idea with one more paragraph. Od Amruzal. He keeps saying, Od. I keep adding another piece. Od Amruzal. One more piece. Ki asaga ba'Allah zo tisovev sheyishlach adam yado ve'yeyanek adam osa b'shalom. When a person starts to earn his place in this world, when you start to use these tools to climb the ladder, a person in this way will cause that the work of his hand, so to speak, the efforts of his hand, allow him to benefit from the world as if it's his own. One of the reasons that the Sfarim, deeper Sfarim, give for why Hashem sent us to this world is that we shouldn't have to have nahama de chisufa. Nahama means lechem, bread, which is kisufa, which is embarrassing. Imagine if someone said, I will give you, you know, food for the rest of your life. On the one hand, it's very comforting. On the other hand, it's embarrassing to take a handout. Someone says to you, oh, so what do you do to, you know, I see that you eat nicely, you know, you must have a good job. What do you do? Say, actually, I don't do anything. Someone, you know, there's a guy who gives me my food. So it's embarrassing. You mean you don't earn it? No sense of your own personal achievement or accomplishment. So one of the reasons Hashem sent us from a world of enjoying the delicacies of spirituality to come to this world is to earn it and then to go back and to enjoy it that much more. So we shouldn't have to eat shameful bread. So therefore he says, you come to this world, you start using Torah to work on yourself, and you're climbing the ladder, and now you're enjoying the world as if it's yours because you've earned it. But whoso yagia kapecha kisocha ashrecha v'tovlach. When a person, by the sweat of his brow, by the effort of his own hands, he eats in this world, he enjoys. Ashrecha v'tov lach. Good for you, in this world and the next. Perish. Ha'osher shalcha v'hatov shalcha. The source of simcha is yours. The pleasure is yours. V'hu ma'imr chazal. Sha'anefesh kodim b'yasolom ha'azel cheles kabas bogeres. That a soul before it comes to this world eats, is satiated, is sustained, like a bas bogeres, like an older daughter who never got married. She's still living in her parents' home. So on the one hand, it's nice, you know, she's never had to worry about anything, her parents are taking care of her. On the other hand, come on, she should be out on her own by now. She's a grown woman. Nebuch, she's not married. Nebuch, she's not living independently. Uvechazarasa kabas nesua. But when we come back after a lifetime of achievement in Torah and Mitzvos, then we're like a married daughter. Right? It's different. She's not embarrassed to be taken care of by her husband, because she's partnering with her husband to build something together. Everyone is receiving a hashba from the highest of worlds, Atzilus. Atzilus is sending down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending down Shefa to this world. But how much you're able to makabel depends on what type of kli you make yourself. That's why when tzaddikim eat their food, it's a different type of food than we're eating. You know why? Because our food, yes, our food also has sparks of holiness in it. But our food has become so diluted through the spiritual worlds, right? That the amount of godliness in our food is very little. By the tzaddik, when the tzaddik takes, you know, you could put a big bowl of soup in front of him, he takes one bite of the soup, and that's all he needs. That's all he needs. So you kind of wonder, like, oh, he must, you know, by the tish, he like takes one little nibble, but he probably, like, afterwards, he's probably so hungry, he like goes backstage, you know, after the tish, and he like stuffs himself. No, that one little bite of farfel, I didn't do it right, I bent down to the food, that wasn't right. That one little bite of, you know, farfel, or the soup, right, is enough to sustain the tzaddik. Chanina bini, like Gemara says, sustained himself mishabbos l'shabbos with a kav churuvan, with a kav of carob. Tzaddikim don't need to eat much. You know why? Because they're eating food that is infused with atzilus, and we're eating food of the world of asiya, which also kilo lo alechem levado yichya adam. Right, like the Arizal says in Parshas Akev, we're not sustained by the food alone. There's nitzotos in our food as well, but by the tzaddik, there's more nitzotos than food. So he takes one bite of the soup and he's good. He's covered. Yeah? He's not sitting, you know, we're so busy on Shabbos eating more and more and more and more because we're trying to find the sparks of our soul. The tzaddik takes one bite and he's done. That's all he needs. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending a Shefa to this world. And it's descending from the world of Atzilus, from the world of the letter Yud, all the way down through all of the Olamos. Quotes the Pasuk in Nechemiah, now I'm paraphrasing, Va'atam Achayas Kulam. And the farther down the chain you are, the less or varying degrees of shefa you receive. But again, the goal is to try to be someone who taps into those higher levels. And he goes on and he explains, and again, I want to just jump ahead to the end of the parsha to show one or two more final points. But he goes on to explain that don't get stuck on the level of nefesh. Nefesh is basically for free. If you get stuck your whole life on the level of nefesh, if you never climb to ruach or neshama, then you're not really earning your place in this world, and you're not really going to have a portion that's meaningful in Olam Haba. And again, the avodah is just to climb step by step. Step by step. From the lowest hay to the vav, to the hay to the yod. From asiya to yitzira to bria to atzilus. From nefesh to ruach to neshama to chay. To try the best we can to get as far as we can in our ruchnis. Okay? Alright, the hour is very late. I want to just end with a couple final quick little, tiny little pieces. Take a look. Since it's the days of Sfiras HaOmer, we'll learn a very famous Or HaChaim about Sfiras HaOmer. Chaf Gimel Tes Vav. Let's look at Chav Gimel Tezva very quickly. Usvartem lachem. Usvartem lachem. He starts off by saying, "What's the lachem?" Usvartem lachem. Count for yourself. So he says, first of all, Omer lachem letzad sheyitzav Hashem lispor shava shabasos. V'amru chazal ki letzad shahayu betumas betzrayim v'ratza Hashem lizdavig lumazal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I want to marry you. I want to get to know you in the deepest of ways." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Usfartem lachem," first you need to prepare yourself. 7 weeks, purifying yourself for the zivug, for the intimate relationship with Hashem. 7 weeks of preparation. Don ba kemishpat nida, you're like a nida. How long does a nida have to count in order for her to purify herself to her husband? 7 clean days. So says the Rachai Bekadosh, so too you need to count your Shiva Nekiyim, so to speak, 7 clean weeks. 7 weeks of Sfira. And if you'll say, why do we have 7 weeks when a nida has 7 days? He says the reason is, v'agam ki sham zayin yamim v'kan zayin shvuos letzar haflagas ha-tumah. It's because nida is a very intense tumah, but it's not as intense as what? It's tumas Mitzrayim. Tumas Mitzrayim is so intense that if they're leaving Mitzrayim, you can't just wait 7 days to purify yourself. You need 7 weeks to purify yourself. It gives us a sense of the thickness of the tumah of Mitzrayim. Letzar haflagas tumah. V'agam ha-yosef achlalas Yisrael. She'er hatmim dayim, he came mishpatim. Because the Jewish, yes, he says in 2 directions. Because Klal Yisrael have to be on such a lofty level, and because Mitzrayim was such a dirty tumah, it's going to take 7 full weeks in order for us to truly transform ourselves. Then he says at the end of the piece, jump ahead to the end of the piece, the very last time he comes back to Usvartem, he says Uvederach Remez, Ba'omer Usvartem. You could explain Usvartem in the following way. And this you find in works of Chassidus as well, but I think the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh said it first. What does the word sapir mean? What does it mean? Sapir. Like usvartam. Sapphire. Right? Sapphire. Sapir means sapphire. Sapir could mean to illuminate. So usvartam lachem, it's a very Chassidus Shavar. Usvartam lachem means illuminate yourself. Become shining. Sfiras HaOmer is a chance for a Jew to polish himself. So that when you come, the same way... Listen. Every Jewish woman is beautiful. Right? And that's true. Every stage of life, every day of life, from the time that a young Jewish girl comes into the world, to when she's a young girl, to when she's a teen, to when she's hopefully a young married woman, to when she's an old bubby. Every Jewish woman is beautiful. The Medrash says that the Jewish people are endowed with beauty, and every Jewish woman is beautiful. Right? But the kala on the day of her wedding is maybe the most beautiful day of her life. Right? She looks as good as she's going to look any other day of her life. So when we come to the wedding, so to speak, between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shavuos, we want to look our best. We want to be as shining as ever. And therefore the Torah says, for 7 weeks, usvartem lechem, polish yourself. Shine yourself up. Right? Become illuminated once again. Usvartem al derech orem ki nishmos am b'nei Yisrael heim b'chinas haluchos. What were the luchos made out of? Sapphire. Chazal say it was Safir, right? It was Sanpirnon. It was Sapphire Stone. Uvamtsos Tachluya Nefesh Tumas Hateyov Yislachlachu, Vayakshik Oram. Our light was extinguished in Mitzrayim, it was dimmed. Chazal say Ki Aluchos Shel Snaprinon Hayu. They were made out of sapphire. And therefore Usvartam Lachem. Perush, Bamtsos Minyan Zeb, by counting these days of Sfiras HaOmer. Atem Meirim Kis. Kisnaprinon es atzmecha. You become like a sapphire stone. You become like a shining gem in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Kala B'yom Chupasa. The 7 weeks are again like the 7 days that Aisha is preparing herself to be able to come back to her husband. And what do Chazal say about that reconnection? After a woman goes to the mikvah and she comes back to her husband and they're able to be intimate together once again, right? And they're allowed to rebond in that way. So Chazal say the reason that we have such a process is what? Is to make a woman constantly beautiful to her husband like the day of the wedding. So therefore, what happens on a small scale nida cycle is a constant renewal of the marriage happens to us this time of the year as we prepare to come to the Yom Tov Shavuos. Alright, last but not least, I guess we'll end with one Yom Kippur vart, because the Chassam Sofer says the Lag BaOmer is like Yom Kippur. So we'll end on Yom Kippur. Pasuk of Zayin. Again, there's a lot more to see here, but we'll end on Pasuk of Zayin. I have a Kabbalah from a great tzaddik that the time to end the shir is when the Talmidim look like it's time to end the shir. Don't watch the clock, watch the faces. So we'll end with one final thing. Yom HaKippurim Hu Mikra Kodesh. Yeah, Pasuk of Zayin and Pasuk of Ches. Parshas Emor goes through all the holidays. So look what he tells us about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Mikra Kodesh, Peirush. Below Emtsos, Kriyasam, Oso Kodesh, Uvolo Inoy, Shemis Anembo, Hu Yom Kippur, Mitzar Atzmo. What does he say? There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Does Yom Kippur work if you don't do tshuva? Is there such a concept of Itzumo Shel Yom Mechaper? Does the day itself have an inherent holiness? And therefore, if you're alive on Yom Kippur, then automatically Yom Kippur washes over you and cleanses you? We Paskin actually like Rebbe. The Rambam Paskin is like Rebbe. Which is that what? That you have to do tshuva in order to be able to tap into Yom Kippur. I gave a shiur last year before Yom Kippur, arguing on that, trying to defend the other opinion in the Gemara, that Itzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper. And I did not have this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, although I wish I did, because look what he says here. He says, the Pasuk says, it's Yom HaKippurim, and then Mikra Kodesh. Which means, again, Perish, without calling it Kodesh, without fasting. It's Yom Kippur Mitzad Atzma. Umi'ati Yishchar, Lemitzvah Kriyas Kodesh, Ve'inoi Bo, Milvad Reva HaKapara. That when you declare it holy, and when you fast on Yom Kippur, he says, that's all Reva, that's all bonus points. But there's something inherent called Yom Kippur. Before Mikra Kodesh, before you declare it holy, before you do anything, before you practice the Hanhagos of Yom Kippur, the day has an inherent Kedusha. And therefore he says, V'chol Malacha, right, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Chavches, don't do any Malacha Ki Yom Kippur. Why can't you do Malacha on Yom Kippur? You'll tell me, because what do you mean? Every Yom Kippur you can't do Malacha. No, it's different on Yom Kippur. It's different. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cleansing you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved with you on Yom Kippur. And one of the ways that you show that you're just surrendering yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, by not doing malacha. By allowing Hashem to do His thing and not disturbing Him, so to speak. He quotes a Gemara in Sota, which says that at the time the Kohanim are giving a bracha, the Am who's receiving the bracha shouldn't be doing anything else. Should not be reciting psukim. Because if you do so, it's as if you're, you know, going up against the Kohanim. You're not making yourself a kli to accomplish the bracha. So he says the same thing is true about Yom Kippur. Ki Yom Kippurim hu, perish. Ki Yitzumo Shel Yom Mechaper. V'yesh lecha Adam Shazman Mechaper Alav. Hu Asuk B'malachto. For a person to be busy doing his malacha while Hashem is trying to work on you, for you to be distracted doing other things would be inappropriate. And therefore we should try to be people who are on the receiving end to quiet ourselves, to quiet out down our lives, right? To be mavatal ourselves and just submit ourselves to allow Yom Kippur to work its magic. Of course, again, halacha lemaisa b'paskin, you're supposed to do your part in terms of the tshuva. But the reason we refrain from Allah on Yom Kippur is to, so to speak, make a little more room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to express Himself. And again, that works out to our benefit, that it brings kapara to Klal Yisrael. So Mirtz Hashem, as we come to Yom Kippur, as we come to the Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, which is Yom Kippur and then some, as we come to the Kohen Gadol Rishon Bar Yochai, as we remind ourselves, Emor is a Lashon of Maila, the greatness of the Kohen. And every Jew is a Kohen, Malach is Kohanim Bugai Kadosh. We should climb that ladder that we described here, the ladder of the souls, the ladder of the world, the ladder of the letters of Hashem's name. And Amir Tzashem will climb all the way back up to sit with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and to join a Kadosh Baruch Hu in basking in the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah. Shkayach.